Hi, I'm Zelma Long with Villafonte Vineyards from South Africa. Do listen to Lynn on Wine and Done.
Hi, I'm Kathy Corison. I'm the sole proprietor and winemaker at Corison Winery, Napa Valley.
You're listening to iWine Radio. My name is Lynn Crelo Chamberlain, host. A recent study caught my attention that was headlined, Women Winemakers Have Made It in Male-Dominated Field. Well, today we're going to talk about a new research study by Dr. Lucia Albino Gilbert and Dr. John Gilbert of Santa Clara University in California that finds that California women winemakers' wines are more highly acclaimed relative to their presence in the field than male winemakers' wines. This is quite fascinating. There are a lot of different nooks and crannies to this, and we're going to try and flesh it out today. And they're joining us from their home, and I'd like to thank you so very much. Let me start by asking you, Dr. Lucia Gilbert, what was of interest to you? And you are a professor of psychology at Santa Clara University. And one of the things that struck me first is, what was your motivation behind doing this research in the classes that you teach? Did this ever come up in conversation or something with students, and you decided you wanted to research this?
No, actually, I have always studied women's careers, and especially women that are in what are called atraditional careers. They say women in engineering, women in fields where it's not been traditional for women to enter those fields. And okay. It had been my understanding that for women winemakers in California, that they actually had shattered the glass ceiling. And I was very interested in this because I wanted to learn, you know, what accounted for that, why was that, so that we could take these learnings to other fields, which haven't had this much success, to see, you know, if they could, in a sense, gain from the experiences.
Yes.
And so this has been a project that's been going on for a couple of years. So the first step in the project was actually to find out how many women winemakers there were, because there was no database.
Okay.
And so developing the database took a whole year of looking and getting information on all of the over 3,200 wineries in California and coding whether their winemaker was a woman or a man. So from that study, we realized that the glass ceiling hadn't been shattered, and actually approximately 10% of the wineries in California have a woman as their lead winemaker.
So you were looking at specifically just the lead winemakers, not cellar rats or assistant winemakers who kind of work their way up to lead winemaker.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. We're only looking at the lead winemaker, and I think looking at that whole career path is very important, but we were just looking at who was the lead winemaker.
Okay.
So once we had, and so we were looking to see how they had shattered the glass ceiling. We weren't thinking, oh, there are really relatively few women.
Yes.
And so then, once we had these numbers, we had noticed this wonderful book, this Opus Vino book, and we were looking for something that could tell us about, in a sense, the quality of a winery. So our research is really about the winery and who is the lead winemaker at the winery. So once now we had the Opus Vino book, we also then could code in which wineries were recognized in Opus Vino as either up-and-coming or high-quality wineries. And that's then what the second study is looking at.
Dr. John Gilbert, how I understand that that Jim Gordon is the editor or the author behind this Opus Vino. Is this something that is a part or an adjunct to Wines and Vines magazine, or is this a total standalone book that he has written?
It's a standalone book that he edited, selecting talented wine analysts from really throughout the world. It isn't just California that's covered in this book.
Okay.
And he then functioned as editor. I don't know what his specific role was in terms of assessing the quality of the input from the various critics, but it is a freestanding operation.
How far back does he, you know, in time, does he list winemakers? Are you going back 20 or 30 years or longer, like Zelma Long? I mean, her career really started as a lead winemaker probably 30 to 35 years ago.
She is no longer the lead winemaker.
Right. She does her own thing now.
She was at CIMI, I believe.
Yes.
And actually has had a series of women winemakers. But no, so what this is looking at, and the Opus Vino book, is looking at, they reviewed and all of these wineries would probably be, say, within the last 20 years. And they were looking at wineries that had consistently produced high-quality wines, and then they also had another category called
Rising Stars.
Rising Stars.
Oh, okay.
And so a Rising Star winery would be one with maybe a new lead winemaker, and then that would be a Rising Star. It didn't have the history that the others did.
Does your data include women who, perhaps, because there are some women now who were lead winemakers, and then they went off on their own to make their own wines and under their own labels, and they're also doing lead winemaking consulting?
So there are people who have their own label and are also a winemaker someplace else. And then, you know, there are people, I don't want to throw out names, but then there are, you know, people who maybe are the lead winemaker at three or four different very high-end places, say in Napa. And so what we have in our database, and we use the Wines and Vines list of wineries, the official wineries in California.
Okay.
So if it's an official winery in California, whether, you know, it's a virtual or a non-virtual, they're all in our database, and every single one then has a lead winemaker. Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, yes. Why do you think that the public who are mistakenly believe that women winemakers have shattered the glass ceiling in California?
Well, see, that was part of the reason for the second study, or main reason for it. We were looking at, well, why is it that everybody thinks there are so many women winemakers? And even when, you know, we visit a lot of wineries now, and when we visit the wineries, we always ask the people in the tasting room, well, gee, you know, we're studying winemakers in California. Who is your winemaker? And they would tell us, and then we say, well, do you know any wineries in the area that have a woman winemaker? And rarely could anyone come up with a woman winemaker.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what made it so surprising. I'm sure there's one.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in an area, I mean, everyone will have one, or when you think about it some more, they'll come up with one or two names, the names that everybody knows. But beyond that, they wouldn't know the people in their own area. So it's just sort of an anomaly, and I don't know why that is. But then we were thinking that perhaps, you know, if the wines are more well known or of a particular winery, and that winery does have a woman winemaker, and of course the winemakers are on the road, you know, they're doing wine dinners and so on, that people may think there are so many more because they've seen one or two.
Right.
And that's, you know, not unusual. I mean, if you ask people, well, I'm not sure this is a good question right now, but, you know, how many women senators are there? You know, what percentage of the Senate has women senators? I bet people will come up with a much larger percentage than there actually are. and that percentage hasn't changed over the last 10 years.
So
I might add something here that is my impression and that about, you know, the view that women have shattered the glass ceiling, and that's the fact that it's one of the premier educational programs for enology and viticulture is at UC Davis, and for a number of years, at least half the class in the program have been women. And so the perception is, gee, there must be a lot of women winemakers.
Oh, my gosh. And has anyone ever put together some kind of a database following those women, where they have gone in their careers? I mean, maybe some of them decided that they wanted to have families and not pursue their winemaking career. Or, I mean, that's always a possibility.
Well, I think that, yeah, that's always a possibility. And I think that's something that comes up a lot. And one of the things that we're tracking in another study that we're doing is how many women do have children. And is it the case that women who want to have children decide they don't want to become winemakers? I don't think that's the case, actually, for the young, at least for this generation of women, because many of them have children. And I don't know if you've had a chance to look at our website.
No, not yet, but we're going to be directing people there. And we're going to go to a short break here, Jack and Lucia. So the website is womenwinemakers.com.
.com.
And we will be right back for the fourth segment this week on Wine and Dine.
Hi, this is Michaela Rodino. I'm from St. Supery Winery in Napa Valley. Thanks for listening to the Wine and Dine radio show with Lynn Crelo.
Hi, this is Kathleen Inman, owner and winemaker at Inman Family Wines in the Russian River Valley. I produce sustainably grown Pinot Noir and Pinot Gris, which you can purchase online at InmanFamilyWines.com. Keep listening to Lynn on Wine and Dine Radio.
Hello, my name is Mella Handley in Northern California's cool Anderson Valley.
We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Lucia Albino Gilbert, professor of psychology at Santa Clara University, and her husband, Dr. John Gilbert, also a professor there. And they have been researching, well, their research includes women in male-dominated fields, and today we're focusing, of course, on women in the winemaking field. And where we left off is if people are interested in learning more, they can go to their website, womenwinemakers.com. And Lucia, for people to access information from your website, do they have to pay a fee?
No, this is we're educators, and so everything on our website is focused on people learning more about women winemakers and really illuminating who they are and what their contributions have been.
Okay.
And in the point, one other point I wanted to make: we have bio profiles of every woman winemaker on the site, and when we did the bio profiles, we especially asked the women to include something about their personal lives, so that people would realize that they are, you know, people with real lives.
Yes.
And so you'll see in reading through that of how many of the women have families.
How many people do you think are there? More women winemakers that have families compared to those who don't? Families meaning children.
Yeah. So, you know what? We haven't coded all of that yet. I've coded it for another part of our study is we're doing conversations with women winemakers to learn more about their career paths. You know, as you mentioned earlier, that's just really important of how, you know, did they go from cellar rat to winemaker?
Yes.
Unlikely, because very few women still are chosen to work in the cellar. But did they go from working in the lab?
Yes.
To,
yes.
Yeah. So we have all that, and we've talked or had these meetings with 50 women. And of those women, and they range, you know, from the 30s to the 60s, so it's a long, it's a broad range of women over different generations, I would say that 70% of those women have children.
Okay.
So it's a large percentage. And And I think, you know, people don't have children for different reasons, and some because of their career. And I think that's an important question, because we wouldn't want to discourage talented young women from going into a field because they're concerned that they wouldn't be able to balance work and family.
So let me ask you, what are you planning to do with this data? Are you going to put it together in one or two books, or is it strictly for, or are you going to be doing consulting work, or is it for your teaching and the sake of just of learning this information?
Well, on our website, we're posting everything on our website, our studies, so that people can read about this. We have facts and figures. We have career tips. We have our first two studies posted on our website. So the first thing is really want to provide accurate information. And we're basically educators, and we're just trying to educate the public, but also people who are interested in different career paths about how successful are women, what is their life like, and here's accurate information. So that's one part. And we have several other studies that we want to look at. We want to look at the role of mentors. Now, you don't have a career all by yourself.
Yes.
And so mentors, male and female mentors, are really important. We want to look at that. We want to look at the work family, because that's also crucial. And, yes, we are thinking of doing a book, and I have to tell you, the focus of the book keeps shifting.
Okay.
The more people we talk with, more good questions that are asked,
yes,
some of the questions you asked today, we say, well, you know, we don't want to write the book for ourselves. We want to write our book so that people will read it. And so that's a goal, yes.
So, Jack, your hypothesis of this study, and you are in the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
That's correct.
At St. Clair. And, man, making wine is a lot of chemistry and biochemistry. So I bet you were just in your element having a blast talking to, and you're continuing this conversation even on your vacation. You guys are interviewing women winemakers. So this must be, did you ever think, oh, my gosh, maybe I could have done this as a career?
Well, I certainly have thought of that. Of course, we lived in Texas for much of my professional career, and that's not a great state for raising grapes for wine. But we've always been fascinated with wine, and I have, you know, contemplated the idea of becoming a winemaker, but it's a long, hard road. Even with the strong scientific background that I have, and that we have found in our conversation, is a key thing that many of the women we've talked to feel prompted, you know, was important in developing their careers, is to have a strong science background.
In other words, just learning from the cellar up and having somebody mentor you and learning kinesthetically is not going to give you the foundation of taking classes and learning that the chemistry and the microbiology of winemaking.
That is our impression. I mean, I think there are a few exceptions where the winemakers have learned from mentors or from parents and so on who are winemakers.
Yeah.
But the general rule is a strong scientific background is necessary to understand the microbiology, the chemistry, et cetera, associated with winemaking. It's much more complex, I think, than individuals realize.
Okay, so in your study, let me ask you, because I have it in front of me, but tell us, what percentage of winery owners, winemaker slash owner, are women compared to men, specifically listed in this Opus Vino book?
Okay. So among all California wineries, a significantly smaller proportion of women than men are winemakers and also owners. So it's 4% for women, 47% for men.
Mm.
So it's very small. And you have to realize that only 10% of women are the lead winemaker. So now we're putting together lead winemaker with owner.
Right.
So that 10% goes down to 4%.
But it, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but if you focus on the people that are listed in Opus Vino,
mm-hmm,
it says 14.2% of women owners winemakers were included in comparison to 9.7% of men owners winemakers.
Right. So now if you say, okay, let's just take that smaller group in Opus, the Opus Vino ones, then we see that there's a higher, so it reverses, and that a higher proportion of the lead winemakers of wineries listed in Opus Vino are owner winemakers than for men. And that's a significant reversal.
In your interviews of these 50 different women, do you ever get the impression that these women are very, very strong?
Extraordinary.
Yeah. I mean, not mentally, emotionally strong, and are they A-type personalities? I mean, they're leaders, obviously, without even seeking that out.
I think they would describe themselves as having vision, focus, and persistence.
Oh, I like that. Vision, focus, and persistence. Okay.
And I would add on the term thick skin.
Yeah, oh, yes. Okay, vision, focus, persistence, and thick skin. I'm going to use that as a segment description.
and a strong work ethic.
And a very strong work ethic. Very, very much so. Very much so. Well, I would like to thank you both so very much, Dr. Lucia Albino Gilbert and Dr. John Gilbert, for joining us today on Wine and Dine and talking about this. And we want everybody to know that they can learn more at womenwinemakersplural.com. People can get up with you at that place in that link as well. Yes.
Right. They can email us. Yes. We'd love to hear from them. And thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for having us.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Donnie Dyer. My husband Bill and I are staking our own reputations as winemakers on the smallest estate vineyard and the smallest AVA in Napa Valley, the Diamond Mountain District. For more about Dyer Cabernet, you can find us on the web at www.dyerwine.com. And keep listening to Lynn on Wine and Dine.